You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Dr. McCullough, thank you for joining us.
Great to jump in with you.
This is very special for me. I've been following your work and very proud to have you on the show because I think the work that you're doing is extremely important. It's been about a year since we've had a doctor on to talk about the COVID vaccines and vaccines more generally. And I think just for a topic of news that came out this week, jumping into Novavax and their trial that had to be paused earlier this week for the combined COVID and flu vaccines. What's going on there?
I'm a practicing internist and cardiologist in Dallas, Texas. And, you know, so I manage patients every day in this whole decision about vaccines and also managing acute COVID-19, complications of long COVID and the vaccines. Turns out Novavax was the safest of all the vaccines by far. There's only 6 Novavax deaths reported in our U.S. CDC system, whereas there's over 19,000 deaths with Pfizer, Moderna, and Janssen combined. So Novavax, the safest of the vaccines, but they were testing a combination product of the Novavax vaccine and an influenza vaccine, and one patient developed a motor neuropathy, probably, you know, in a sense, a paralysis of an arm or a leg, and the trial was stopped. And what we're scratching our heads about is that, listen, if the trial was stopped for that, a non-fatal complication, how can we let Pfizer, Moderna roll on with these large numbers of deaths in our system?
Yeah. And I guess that's a big question I have for you today. As time has rolled on, the vaccine rollout started in 2021. As we sit here today at the end of 2024, we have 3 years of data. What is the data beginning to show that is, in your opinion, undeniable in terms of the safety or lack of safety of these vaccines?
In the United States is catastrophic. I'll just use the word catastrophic. Over 19,000 deaths, our CDC has verified. These are deaths that the doctors like me have determined the vaccine caused the death. So it's not a question of, was the vaccine involved or not, for sure. Otherwise, we wouldn't report in the system. The VAERS system is very severe. You know, if we put in a spurious report, the doctor can be fined or imprisoned. So I would never report a death that wasn't due to the vaccine. Over 19,000 deaths. The most dangerous vaccines were in 2021. That's for sure now. 3 studies show that, led by Schmeling, Manichi, and now Hooker. So we have data from Denmark, Sweden, United States. So watch out for those listening who took the vaccine in 2021. They were the most dangerous vaccines. We have seen inordinate amounts of damage in the cardiovascular, neurologic, immunologic, and thrombotic systems. I'm a cardiologist, so I see patients with heart damage every day from the vaccines. And sadly, I saw a patient yesterday who took the vaccines in 2021. He's a guy about my age, healthy, fit, CEO. He didn't start having signs of heart damage and heart failure until 2024. So a lot of the reactions may be delayed.
And is that predominantly driven by the spike protein hanging around? Is the spike protein, once you get the shot, does it stay with you for quite a bit?
Right. Now, 80% of Americans took a shot. 94% of that number took Pfizer, Moderna. The genetic vaccines, we don't know how long they last in the body or when they do shut off, if they ever do. But the spike protein is evident in the body for years now after vaccination. Yeah, the spike protein is found in the heart. Messenger RNA is found physically in the heart muscle. It causes inflammation and damage, leads to cardiac arrest or heart failure.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of censorship. This show has been censored. We had a doctor from Wyoming, Dr. Willard, Doc Willard Woods on the show. And he was talking about your protocol, actually, about early treatment, preventative treatment. And just by recommending that, we got demonetized, show taken off of YouTube for a few months. And he's a 75-year-old seasoned doctor, was very polite and very calculated with how he was explaining everything. And it was insane to me back then. This is 2-3 years ago now at this point that they would pull that off. But the censorship has continued to a certain extent. And that is another big question I have is, like, do you think we will get to a point of retribution and justice and the truth actually getting out there and the people culpable for this mess is what I would describe it as, a catastrophic mess. Will there ever be retribution?
It looks like the direction may be just the opposite. There's some discussion now of deploying artificial intelligence broadly across the internet and scrubbing any information on COVID-19 vaccine injuries or disabilities and deaths as if it doesn't exist. You know, people have found out, Rasmussen survey polls have shown progressively more people think the vaccines are causing damage and death. We're now at about 50-50 people, you know, out there. No one's taking the shots. Less than 2% of people this year have taken a shot up through April of 2024. So the word is out. Your question is, will there ever be any justice? Right now, there's no special prosecutors assigned, no cases. The companies are immune from liability, Pfizer, Moderna, Janssen, and Novavax. There are essentially no cases taken against public health officials. We have two presidential candidates that refuse to talk about the vaccine debacle. So no, I'd say we're a long way from justice.
You don't have any hope that if Trump gets it in the MAHA movement, it gets some influence within that administration, that there could be some action?
It's possible if Robert F. Kennedy, let's say he's named HHS director, we'd need to clean house at the CDC, NIH, and FDA, and then we'd need the executive branch, or I guess one of the two, you know, the Senate or the House, actually to sign a special prosecutor and start naming, you know, targets, people who we think actually caused crime. So the creation of SARS-CoV-2, its cover-up, that would be Anthony Fauci, Dr. Ralph Baric, Peter Daszak, David Morenz under Fauci. Those would be obvious targets. It means people to be, you know, pursued. And then there would be subjects. There's all these other people who could have been assistive and played a role in that. That would include probably both White House task forces, for instance, you know, a lot of the White House staff for both Trump and for Biden would be subjects. And then, of course, there'd be witnesses. I'm sure I'd be a witness since, you know, I've witnessed and I've provided testimony in both the House and the Senate. As you know, and so I've been on Capitol Hill a lot on this, but we'd have to see that go all the way for justice. The other thing, let's say the HHS director could do is they could work with Congress and then revoke the National Injury Compensation Act, the Vaccine Injury Compensation Act, so the liability shield would fall. The Attorney General is already suing Pfizer, for example, for fraudulent trade and deceptive trade practices. So the charges would be out there as fraud broadly across the companies and the government agencies, and then mass negligent homicide. People were you know, they lost their lives due to these products that the governments and companies and agencies pushed, you know, without really any concern over safety. You know, I don't even know any companies that even have apologized to their employees who have died of the vaccine. You know, there appears to be no remorse whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, death is the worst outcome, but there are less worse outcomes, which are permanent damage from this. And myocarditis, obviously, is one of those. But if you think about women, it's messed up menstrual cycles and really hurt fertility rates for some individuals, and I would consider it a crime against humanity, but it is this weird elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about.
But you know why? That's because vaccinology, this whole field of vaccines, is like a religion. It's like a religious belief. And for centuries now, people have bought into this, that the vaccine is like a religious talisman. And that, you know, the brilliance of mankind can improve upon God's creation. This is for the betterment of humanity. We all have to accept them for them to work. And listen, if there's some casualties along the way, People have to take it for the greater good. Because of that mental viewpoint, that's the reason why there's no remorse. You know, even within families, I've seen family members die of the vaccine and then other family members not be upset.
Knowing that it was the vaccine or just some cognitive dissonance? And
well, it's probably a combination of both. It really is stunning. You know, Nick Holscher from the McCullough Foundation and myself were presenting our abstract, our poster abstract about vaccine deaths and autopsies. And so a doctor came up, an older doctor, he was studying the data. And he told me, he goes, listen, he goes, I took 5 shots in this arm and now I'm paralyzed in this arm. I can't move it. He goes, but if they come out with a booster, I'm going to take it in the other arm. No, but so that shows you it's a religious belief. People believe it's like a talisman. It's like a good luck charm. I had patients who, you know, took the vaccines on schedule. And then, you know, after a few months after one of the shots, they went back into CVS and asked for more shots. They said, we're going to travel. We just want to get some extra shots. And, you know, they gave it to them. So the pharmacies would give as much vaccine as people would take. Again, it's like a religious belief. They think this is like a talisman. We've never had a vaccine where you take it, it fails, and you get the illness. Then you take more vaccines, and it fails again, and you take more vaccines, and it keeps going and going. And that's exactly the pattern that happened to President Biden as well as Anthony Fauci in public view.
Yeah. And I mean, well, I guess the pharmacies particularly being willing to get this, there's a money component to this too. Mm-hmm. And how much has money corrupted this and really driven this religious fervor for vaccinology?
Well, if you start with the religious belief of vaccine ideology, which is goes back to smallpox and polio and measles, so a strong religious belief, you fortify that with fear. People thought they were going to die of COVID, so they're fearful to embrace the religion, and then you infuse massive amounts of money, you take away all liability. And just you end up with wide open fraud, people misrepresenting these. We see fraud in the medical literature, fraud by companies that took money to promote the vaccines. The Biden administration and HHS, they had a program called the COVID Community Core Program, CORPS, and it was billions of dollars. They essentially bribed the media, 4,000 media outlets, churches. They had a program called Faith for Vaccines. They bribed the churches, athletic groups. It went on and on. Companies took money to hit vaccine quotas. And you know what? Even the NFL did. So the sad part about this is most of these vaccine mandates occurred after August 8th. And that's when our CDC director, Walensky, came out and said, the vaccines don't stop spread of the infection. So once we knew for sure that people who took the vaccines would get COVID and they would spread it to everybody else, there should never have ever been any type of encouragement to take the vaccine. It could not have made the workplace safer, the locker room or the school a less risky environment. It basically, that was a complete day of capitulation for our country, but yet blindly in this religious fervor fueled by money, people pressed on with the vaccines.
Sup, freaks, this rip of TFTC was brought to you by our good friends at Unchained. Unchained is here building the Bitcoin bank of the future. It starts with their Vault product, a 2 of 3 collaborative custody vault, which allows you to hold 2 keys. Unchained holds 1. On top of this, they're building incredible products. They're trading products. You want to buy and sell Bitcoin, you can do it through their trading desk. If you buy Bitcoin directly into cold storage, if you don't want to sell your Bitcoin, you can borrow against your Bitcoin with their lending desk. They have an IRA product, which they recently dropped the price down to 21 cents. So if you want to roll your IRA from traditional assets into Bitcoin, Unchained makes that extremely easy. You're able to hold your own keys. Again, it's the bank of the future. Go to unchained.com. Use the code TFTC when you check out for any of their products. You'll get $50 off. Check out their concierge onboarding if you're looking to do it the right way. Unchained.com. Use the code TFTC. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at Zaprite. If you're a Bitcoiner and run a business or an independent contractor, you should be accepting Bitcoin as payment. If not you, then who? If we believe that fiat is systemically fragile and is a risk. The rails that that currency runs on are a risk as well. You need to begin accepting Bitcoin as soon as possible. Invest in the future of your business. Create a redundant rail by accepting Bitcoin as payment using ZapRate and reduce risk for your business. I've done this for my business. Here at TFTC, we use ZapRate. It allows you to easily create invoices, payment links, or connect e-commerce stores, connect your wallets or custodial accounts, and be set up in minutes. We can also connect our bank accounts, our Stripe accounts, or Square accounts to accept fiat as well. The time is now, freaks. The fiat system is fragile. Invest in the infrastructure that de-risks the future. Invest in yourself. Bitcoin payments with ZapRate. Go to ZapRate.com/TFTC to get $40 off their annual subscription. ZapRate.com/TFTC. $40 off. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at Salt of the Earth. You got to be hydrating, freaks. And while you're hydrating, you got to be getting your electrolytes. This is the best electrolytes mix that I've ever come into contact with. Pink Himalayan salt with calcium, magnesium, potassium, sodium, no sugar. It tastes incredible. My favorite is the orange and the pink lemonade. Go to drinksote.com. That's drinksote.com. Use the code TFTC when you make your purchase and you'll get 15% off. I'm telling you, get on it, freaks. You're going to love this stuff.
Yeah, and the fact that a lot of these big pharma companies are directly funding the FDA specifically is one thing that blew my mind. And I did not become aware of that until the last 3 years when I started digging in. I was like, why is this so crazy? And you have a government, quasi-government entity being funded by the companies that they're supposed to be somewhat regulating.
Well, to make matters worse, 9 out of the 10 last commissioners of the FDA, they were currying favor for these big companies because their next job was with those companies. Like Scott Gottlieb, he's a former FDA commissioner. I mean, he's on the board of Pfizer. So during the pandemic, he was on CNBC every day pushing Pfizer vaccines. I mean, the conflict of interest was in the wide open.
Yeah. It's very 1984-esque. Going back to, like, it was marketed as safe and effective. The CDC comes out and basically admits that it's not effective. Maybe they're beginning to even admit that it's not safe as well. Because I think there has been some acknowledgement of myocarditis, particularly by Anthony Fauci. And again, just recurring the religion behind it all. It's believe the state and don't believe your lying eyes. Believe what we're telling you at any given point in time. And it is rather insane. Like, it feels like we're living in an objectively insane world. And as a married man with 2 young children, thinking about, like, school and the vaccine mandates for that, it's something that I worry about deeply, because you saw it wide open with the COVID vaccines, and that makes you question, all right, if this one had this much of a negative effect on individuals, what are these other vaccines doing, particularly to children?
Well, that's a fair comment. So because of the COVID vaccine debacle and the fact that the CDC ACIP panel installed the COVID vaccine on the childhood schedule down to 6 months, everybody has said, listen, let's take a full stop and evaluate this. In 2023, World Council for Health, which is a physician-driven, evidence-based organization, they said, listen, full stop on all childhood vaccines. We need to review this. And it turns out the vaccines are given in multiple combinations now, and they keep accelerating the number of shots. So at 1 year, I counted it up, a child at a single setting could get 16 different vaccines. Many, like myself, believe now that's too much. We know that if a child develops a febrile seizure afterwards, about a 40% chance they'll develop autism. It's very, very scary. We know that 78% of sudden infant death syndromes occur after this big battery of shots. About half of these cases occur within 48 hours. So it makes sense. The kids get really sick. They're in the bassinet. Parents may be sleeping and they have a high fever and they pass away with a seizure or aspiration. It's just a disaster. So people have said, listen, to keep our kids safe, if they're healthy at baseline, World Council for Health says forego all the vaccines and reevaluate based on clinical needs. So there may be certain circumstances where a special case would vaccines make sense. But we know by papers by Hooker, Miller, Thomas, Mawson, an Amish study. There's 5 studies now showing if the kids take no vaccines at all, in today's modern world of cleanliness, clean air, water, washing our bed sheets, they're healthier than children who take the full vaccine schedule.
Yeah, the Amish example is very stark when you dive into that. And it is, I mean, speaking of like SIDS, Southern Infant Death Syndrome, like it is crazy that they're like, no, your kid just died in his sleep. It happens when they're babies. And it's gotten to the point, I believe there's a gentleman down here in Texas who is actually like on trial, about to go to jail because they're trying to claim that he shook his baby to death when, if you look into it, he's making the argument that it was a vaccine that he took a couple days before, and they refuse to look at this as a potential cause of death, whether it's children or adults, which is objectively insane.
Do you know the state of Louisiana proposed legislation that for sudden infant death syndrome, that the coroners must record the vaccines and whether or not they were given, you know, a day or two before the death? And the coroners refused. They pushed against that. They don't want to know the vaccine administration data for these tests when they do an autopsy.
Why would they care?
They don't want to know. Yeah. So that's proof positive. This vaccinology is a religion.
Yeah. And I know you got to get going here soon, but again, drawing it back to the money, I'm not sure if you're aware, but this is a Bitcoin podcast, and that's one thing that we're pretty passionate about. Is I think a lot of this, whether it's research or subsidies to big pharma, is funded by just being able to print money. And I don't know if you have any thoughts on this, but just going to throw it out there. Like, I think one way to solve this problem is to cut off the money spigot to these to these agencies and to these companies that are really funding this research and using their money to guard the regulatory moats that they have and the basically ability to get away scot-free.
You know, that's a good point. These companies, particularly Moderna and BioNTech, you know, they don't have products that they sell on their own. They've lived on government funds, basically. You know, Pfizer has to sell some product to earn some money, but vaccines should not be paid by government dollars. Vaccines ought to be like any product. They should compete for revenue. They should have standard safety and efficacy data. Right now, they're essentially a government subsidy. And the governments are buying vast numbers of vaccines, and nobody's taking them. So sadly, they end up wasting the money and then disposing the vaccines over and over again. Yet this vaccine religion is growing by leaps and bounds. There's over 1,000 prospective human randomized trials of more vaccines underway. The WHO Agenda 2030 wants to introduce 500 new vaccines, 500 for clinical use by 2030.
Do you have any hope that we can win against this insanity and this movement?
Yeah. We've always had about 2.5% of people who said, listen, I'm not comfortable with these vaccines. United States, again, we had 20% of people. I didn't take the shots, so I knew, you know, I'm in that group. I think we're going to see a growing minority of people who just decline any more vaccines. And as the safety data play out, if you decline a vaccine, like if you don't take a COVID shot, you can't get a COVID vaccine blood clot or myocarditis. You're spared of this misery. And as time moves on, I think the healthiness of the vaccinated, the unvaccinated, you know, they'll be rewarded over time. And I just hope so many of my colleagues can kind of see what's going on and hopefully correct their course.
I do too. Dr. McCullough, I know you got to run. Thank you for spending some time with us this afternoon, and thank you for all the work that you've done.
Thank you.
Peace and love, freaks.
The Geek.